Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, DB2 Backup and Recovery that ensures business resiliency. Today's teleconference will be recorded, will last approximately 60 minutes, and will include a live question and answer session. In this conference, we'll discuss DB2 on ZOS system backup methodologies and the fundamental role of storage-based batch replication in implementing these backup and recovery solutions. The speakers for today's teleconference are Jay Bruce, DB2 Tools Architect, and Tom Hubbard, Product Specialist Manager. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our first speaker, Jay Bruce.
Thank you, operator. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's teleconference. My name is Jay Bruce, and I am the architect over the DB2 Tools portfolio. And I wanted to take a moment to welcome you all to this conference on DB2 Recovery Expert, covering how you might use this to solve common business problems and increase your availability of your systems. I'd like to introduce Tom Hubbard. Tom works for our business partner, Rocket Software, who works in conjunction with us in the development of Recovery Expert. Tom has been associated with the DB2 Tools business for 10 to 15 years and has been very much involved in Recovery Expert, including quality assurance and input to development, as well as serving as our subject matter expert and towards the worldwide presenting seminars on Recovery Expert. So on that note, I'll turn it over to you, Tom.
Hello, and good morning, everybody, or afternoon, depending upon where you are. I'm going to go through the presentation, and we'll try and leave enough time at the end to answer your questions. I will take some questions as we're going through if you have, if they're short and not complicated answers. But we'll see how it goes. On the second slide, the session agenda, we're going to talk a little bit about the DB2 system level backups and the requirements for backups using storage-based technology. Then we'll talk something about Recovery Expert itself and how it aids with making all this come together and work well. We'll talk about the different storage vendors that are supported by Recovery Expert, and then go through some planning considerations that you need to be aware of when planning to use storage-based backups. On slide three, as far as DB2 system trends and directions go, systems are getting larger and larger, and the availability requirement is increasing. So there's many of the applications that require true 24/7/365 availability, and using the traditional backup methods, it's very difficult to get that level of availability. So what we've done is we're looking at developing fast and non-intrusive backups facilities so that we can take a backup, minimize the downtime, minimize the CPU time, and improve your availability. The storage-based is the new wave in doing backups, and they tend to be underutilized because they can be complicated to set up and manage in a DB2 world, and they don't tend to be used by DBAs, they tend to be used by storage specialists. So if you don't have a really good relationship with your storage group, you may not be using this technology. The storage-aware database products allow us to manage the storage so that we can produce non-intrusive backups. We can simplify the recovery operations and recovery time. It's a whole lot easier to recover from one system-level backup than trying to manage thousands of image copies in a shop. We also support disaster recovery both from system-level backups and traditional image copies. We'll focus on the system-level backup capabilities. On the next slide, this is a kind of an intersection of, on the top you have the traditional application and database management using traditional utilities and traditional people to manage it. On the bottom, you have the storage subsystem, and those are the HSM people and the storage management folk. And in the intersection is this new area where we're playing, where we can get some new backup methods, new recovery strategies that people may not have thought of before. We can monitor the business recovery and keep things automated for you. We also have cloning availability, so we can build a copy of an entire DBT subsystem quickly using the storage-based technology. And the disaster recovery is greatly simplified if all you're doing is restoring volumes and restarting your DB2 system with these kind of backups. Moving on to the next slide. This is a configuration that is supported by the DB2 backup system utility. And you'll see in the top left you have the Bootstrap active logs and archive logs in one DB2 calls them a copy pool. And on the source volumes, you have all your catalog directory and the DB2 table spaces contained therein. Now, when using the storage-based technologies, the better you have this division of data sets, the easier it is to run backup and restore. Because you can, with this separation, you can restore either the data copies, or the logs, or both. So it's important to think about it. We'll go through some more of that in the planning considerations. Down at the bottom is the SMS storage group that contains the backup storage volumes, and you have to have enough in that pool to keep as many generations on disk as you want to keep. The functional requirements that we started out when we started on Recovery Expert, we wanted to integrate the backup DB2 backup restore recovery with the storage-based replication. So the goal was to make this as fast as possible with the minimal interruption to the end users. We provide an easy backup and restore for DB2 subsystems, either the entire system, a single application, or even down to individual objects. We also wanted to provide support for the common storage systems. We realize we'd like everybody to have IBM DASDI, but that's just a fact of life. There are other brands out there. So we support the IBM Flash Copy technology. We also support EMC using the TimeFinder mirrors, the business continuity volumes, and if you have the flash copy installed on your EMC DASDI, we'll use that support as well. Hitachi, we support the Hitachi Shadow Image and again the flash copy API is available for those those devices. The subsystem configuration management is one of the more difficult things to do as we looked on the previous slide with the volumes and where things were. You need some assistance in making sure that your volume pools stay clean and that all the volumes are there for the backup. So that was our first requirement for Recovery Expert, was to provide some system configuration management. Recovery Expert also drives the backup process. And again, we'll talk in more detail, but it uses a variety of techniques to perform a system-level backup. We've also added some backup validation to the product. So if you're using the backup system utility, for example, and you forget to add a volume to your copy pools, the backup will still run. We actually check and make sure that you've remembered to add those volumes to the copy pools so that all the volumes you need are backed up when you go to run recovery. providing support for application and object recovery. This was important, particularly in dbt version 8, where you had backup system but you couldn't restore individual objects. With Recovery Expert, we wanted the ability to recover individual objects as well as an application or an entire system. We wanted to have a full metadata repository so that you could recover dropped objects, fall back to a previous version of a table. Some of those techniques that are beyond a traditional just recover to the current point, current or a particular point in time. We provide support for encrypting the offload. This is becoming more and more important in our, for people to have their backups encrypted so that if anything happens to them, the data is not usable by anybody else. And disaster recovery preparation and management will create all the JCL necessary to recover your system at the at your disaster location, and it's just stored in a PDF and you ship it off to the DR site and you're essentially ready to go. Okay, using Recovery Expert to create a system level backup, we use the storage-based APIs to drive the backup process. It's based on the fast replication, so the outage is literally seconds that you see, because the once the flash copying relationship is established, we can let the applications go on and continue updating while the copy runs in the background. We do ensure data consistency in the backup using either the set log suspend technology or the storage based time finder mirroring, or we can also use the backup system, the dbt backup system utility itself. So we support a variety of techniques, but we do maintain consistency in the copy. We have automated backup and archival and recall. This for using HSM to manage the, if you're copying these to disk, they can be offloaded to tape by Recovery Expert. Okay, and we now have the ability to use one single backup for many functions, including restores, of course. You won't see the CPU and I/O that you would in a traditional restore. You can also use the backups to create image copies. If you need image copies for downstream processing, we can take a system level backup and turn it into regular image copies for you. Okay. We restore objects automatically. And we have a variety of techniques. Recovery Expert can, as I've said, restore one object. It can restore from a system level backup and do a log apply. It can restore from just a system level backup to a point in time. We also have some other features in Recovery Expert where we use SQL to enhance the restore process. The benefit of the storage-based restores is the recovery is faster. The same as the backup, well, the only outage to the application is the establishment of the flash copy relationship on the volumes. The restore process also works the same way. So the application outage is storage-based, and it only requires an outage where the flash copy relationship is established, and then it runs using parallelism to do the background copy of the application while the application is still running. We also will reset, rebuild, and recovery pending statuses as part of a system restore. That's not done for an individual object restore, but it is for the systems. If you're restoring less than a single system, we use dataset snaps to recover the individual objects or applications. This is not as fast as the volume snaps, but it does it is an effective technique. You can use these systems, as I said earlier, for multiple purposes. Recovering your DBT system or application, obviously, disaster recovery. You can also use them to make a clone of your DBT subsystem and potentially make traditional image copies, which are used in downstream processes. The image copies that we generate, they're registered to DB2, and they can be used for object recovery and all other operational procedures, just like you had made the copy at the time the system level backup was done. They're created to the same point in time, so they are a fuzzy image copy or a share level change copy. So, but you've gotten the benefit of creating an image copy data set with no impact to your application in terms of outage or I/O processing or any of those problems associated with a normal image copy. Okay, moving on to slide 10. We've talked quite a bit about disaster recovery, but if you take a system level backup and you take the logs and the data and you restore them at your DR site, you can simply restart DB2 and it's just like you had a power outage at your home site. So it comes right back up, the restart resolves the in-doubts and you're back up and running. We also have the off-site, including the restore of the archive logs, so you don't have to manually restore the archive logs. With other, if you're managing it with HSM without a product like Recovery Expert, it's up to you to recover the logs before you start running the recovery. Recovery Expert automates all of that, ensures that all of the resources are available at the DR site to do the recovery. It's tape based, obviously, because you want to ship the tapes off site from somewhere after they're created. Okay, on to slide 11. Local site procedure. If you're doing disaster recovery, what you do is build and submit jobs to prepare for the remote site recovery. So it creates the JCL to recover your volumes to the appropriate volumes at the DR site. It recovers makes the necessary updates to the Bootstrap data set, restores some archive logs that may be needed at the DR site to disk. At the remote site, it's pretty easy. We adjust the DB2 BSDS to accommodate whatever recovery assets were available at the remote site. And then we if you run a disaster recovery and you just go to the end of the logs that were taken at the system level backup, there's really nothing you have to do other than restart DB2. On the other hand, if you want to go forward from those logs, forward from that system level backup to the end of whatever archive logs you've shipped to the DR site, then we'll take care of adjusting the Bootstrap data set, creating the conditional restart record, and all those things you need to have to make that work. On to slide 12, the system backups give you multiple options. You can reset a system to a point in time. You can reset an object to a point in time. You can reset a group of objects. And the storage based means that you never have to copy the data from your DB2 table space into memory and out to a tape. Your backup is on your DASD subsystem and it lives there for the life of the backup. The fast replication technology is Recovery Expert has that expertise to take care of managing that for you, so you don't need to have the DBAs trying to manage the storage infrastructure. And we support the multiple vendors. We've mentioned those before, IBM, EMC, Hitachi, Ramic Virtual Arrays, and StorageTick Snapshot. Okay. We have a variety of what we call copy blades or extensions to the copy within Recovery Expert. The first being the DB2 Backup System utility, and this supports the native DB2 Backup System utility. It creates, it calls the utility, and a backup is created just exactly as if you'd been running the backup system utility. It is registered in the Recovery Expert repository, and the object mapping is maintained by Recovery Expert so that we can enable individual data set restores from the system level backup. The flash copy blade is used, it's like the DB2 backup system, except that it uses the native flash copy technology. It gives you some additional flexibility in that you can now take, using the flash copy blade, you can take a partial system backup. You don't have to back up the entire subsystem. Obviously, if you do that, you wouldn't be able to restore the entire subsystem. But if you just wanted to back up an application, or we have a customer that backs up their DB2 catalog and directory using flash copy and the rest of the application by traditional means. So that support's available. We also will invoke DFSMS to do the copy, and it will drive flash copy or snapshot if it's available. It's a slower copy. The EMC, TimeFinder, Snap, DCV, clone support, all the various techniques available with the EMC hardware are supported in their native mode, including the EMC consistency technology, which gives us our consistent copies. And we take care of issuing the appropriate commands within DB2 to ensure that DB2 knows about the copy and there's nothing in, no writes, so there's a set log suspend there to ensure that there's no writes to the log while the relationship is being established. And then we use the Hitachi shadow image technology to create the volume copies. Again, it's a fast technology available on the Hitachi boxes. In the Hitachi world, we do use their flash copy emulation for individual data set fast replication. So there are some minor restrictions there. Okay. We have two user interfaces with Recovery Expert. We have the ISPF interface, which is where you maintain subsystem analysis and configuration. It provides the support for storage-based backup capability. It's where you do the volume mapping and partial systems backup. So these functions are available in the GUI and are available in the ISPF and not necessarily in the GUI. Over time, you'll see them migrate to the GUI, so you'll have a single user interface for the product. In the GUI, this is where the expert part of Recovery Expert really comes to life. We will take advantage of any recovery assets you have available and come up with a set of recovery plan recommendations with costs, and then you can choose the recovery scenario that you want to use. We have packaged with it the DB2 log analysis services that allow us to create undo or redo SQL to use for recoveries. Sometimes that may be a faster technique to go through the recovery process. We also can do quiet point analysis using log analysis. So if you need to find a point in the log that you can use for a recovery where no one was updating anything, then you can use quiet point analysis to find those points for individual objects or groups of objects. Finally, we've talked about drop recovery. We enable you to do drop recovery to any version of the table. If you just want to go back a couple of versions and you haven't dropped it, you can so you can get rid of the table and then come take out from our repository some old DDL and create the object. We'll also recover the data if the appropriate image copies are still available. We can also recover the data for you to the point of the drop. And we do have dependency analysis. Recovery expert will recover objects, will detect object dependencies that are defined in the DB2 catalog and recover groups of objects based on catalog RI. If you have a lot of application defined RI, then there's an Optum database relationship analyzer that you can get, which Recovery Expert interfaces with to build groups of objects that need to be recovered together. Okay. The subsystem analysis and configuration discovers, this is the part that helps you set up your DBT subsystem. We will go through and we'll find all the volumes that are in use by this DB2 subsystem and which ICF catalogs are in use, what aliases are in use, and the volumes they're placed on. And we'll walk you through the process, including generating the JCL, of moving your data sets around so that they're configured in the way they were configured on that slide when we started, so that everything's separated, and you can do the backups, and not be worried about missing something if you had to run for recovery. This is a list of the backup validations. The main one being that all the DB2 system volumes and the log volumes are included in a full system backup. We also make sure that the user data sets. The user catalogs are included in the backup, because these are the things that you would need if you run a recovery to make sure that the recovery is successful. If your log and object data sets are commingled on volumes, then we'll set the flag that says this is useful for a full restore because the data is not separated properly. We check the source volumes, make sure they're all online and available. We wouldn't want to fail for a volume being buried offline. And we check the target volumes that they're actually there. We also check that the target volumes are not in use by any other backup profile. If you are running a system backup and you write over somebody else's target volume, you're likely to unintentionally wipe out their backup, so we do a check to make sure that the volumes are unique to this backup profile. And when using the storage-based techniques, the source and target volumes all have to be the same device type, so we do check that, make sure that it's set up that way. Okay. System restore options. And if you've ever used the backup system utility, it restores the data. And it works great, and it's up to you to restore the logs. So we have an option when you're building a restore profile where you can do a full restore or restore to a copy, and we will reset both the data and the logs if that's what you need. You don't necessarily have to. You can if you only need the data. You can run. We support a data-only restore as well. If you're doing a point-in-time recovery, that is not to right at the point of a system-level backup, if you're going somewhere else, we would restore all the data volumes for you, and then we would recover the entire DBT subsystem using the logs. You can recover to an RBA or LRSN. We have, if you like to enter timestamps and you know what time you want to recover to, but you don't know what RBA that is and non-data sharing, we deliver a timestamp utility that will capture RBAs and record the time and the high-used RBA so you can go back in there and select from a list and find out what the, you know, based on the time, what the RBA was. You can also enter a timestamp, and we will convert that to an LRSN for you. Again, that's handy because a lot of people know the time, but they don't necessarily know the LRSN that was in there. The restore and recovery process is parallelized, so for efficiency, to make sure we get things back as quickly as possible. Okay, object recovery. You can recover objects from a system-level backup. You can also recover groups of objects that make up an application where you want these 20 objects all have to come back at the same time. You do that by building profiles, which are essentially groups of lists of objects that are going to be recovered together. The profiles have your data recovery options, so whether you're going to run from image copies or system-level backups, we support both techniques. If you're using the GUI, then we also generate the most effective recovery plan. With ISPF, you tell us where you want to go, and we're going to run either an image copy recover or a system-level backup. With Recovery Expert, you have more options available because of the log analysis support for generating undo or redo SQL. We support, as I said, a variety of ways of specifying an endpoint to last by S or last backup or current backup or current time, or you can give us a RBA/LRSN. We support all of those in both the Recovery Expert GUI and ISPF interfaces. We do support, if you're using system-level backups and the data sets have moved then or been deleted, then Recovery Expert will figure out where they're supposed to be, where they got, if they've moved, he'll find out where they've got moved to and take the data set from the backup and put it on the new volume where the object is. If the data set no longer exists, Recovery Expert will find the space to recover the data set, even if it's not on a volume. And we've talked enough about generating DB2 image copies from a system-level backup. Okay, offloading the backups. This is another feature that was not available in DB2 version 8, so we put it together. We also support more versions of offloaded backups than more generations than the standard utility. The process is automated. You can do it at the time that the system-level backup is created, or you can offload it at a later time. Recovery Expert supports both methods of doing it. You can specify the number of subtasks, the number of backups stacked on the tape, those kind of tuning parameters to make the product run efficiently in your environment. The copies wouldn't be much good if you couldn't recover from the archive copies, but you can recover from the archive copies. We keep an index or a repository that tells us where the individual objects are on which in the backup and allows us to do the restore. And as we've indicated before with the storage-based backup, the offloads, we support both IBM DFSMS and Innovations technologies for offloading to tape. Okay, implementation and planning. We've talked about some of these, but you really need to figure out what you're going to use your system-level backup for. If it's going to be used for local site recovery, then the logs and the bootstrap and the data have to be isolated from each other. You may need to isolate the DB2 subsystem. In fact, you do typically isolate each DB2 subsystem to its own sets of volumes. Now, that said, some applications have non-DB2 data sets that need to be synchronized with the application. And in that case, you can put some of those data sets on like your data copy pool volumes, and then they get restored when the DB2 gets restored. But just be aware, if you're doing that, that that's what you want to have happen, because the restores are generally done a full volume at a time. If you're only going to use the system level backup for application and object recovery, you're not going to do a full system recovery, then the isolation is no longer required, because we're going to do the recoveries one data set at a time, and it doesn't matter whether they were spread out by volume or not. Okay. And finally, you need to think about if you're going to use your system level backup for disaster recovery restarts. And you have to decide how you're going to use it. I'm going to go to the point of the backup. I'm going to go to the end of the logs. You may have to have the DB2 subsystem isolated so that it's the only thing that gets restored at the DR site. And then again, you may want some non-DB2 data to be in there and get restored when the restore runs at your disaster site. If you're going to use this technology for partial system backups, we use data set replication to do the restore, so you don't have to worry about the volume restore and bringing back everything on a volume. Since we're using data set restore, you don't need the isolation of the data and logs. Okay. As a best practice, you should group your data together. Related objects and applications should probably be grouped on volumes as a best practice. And that's because the backup's still done at a volume level, and if you needed to, you could potentially restore a volume at a time. You can't use these for system level recovery, obviously. System recovery needs everything in the system, and since you don't have them in a partial backup, then they can't be used for system recovery. Partial system level backups are good for large objects or objects that have unique backup requirements. If you want to create image copies and offload the system level backup to traditional image copies, obviously, since it's only a partial system, you don't need as much DASD. So this helps reduce the DASD requirements for the backup. And it allows you to keep more backup generations on disk. So I've seen customers that take two backups a day for their production system, one at the end of the business day and one at the end of the batch processing cycle. And so this would allow them to potentially keep four copies on disk instead of two because of the reduced DASD utilization. You need to decide whether you're going to take a full system level backup, a data only system level backup, or a partial system backup, and which of those you do and how often will determine your backup strategy and the space utilization that you need. How many copies do I need on disk? How often do I need to back it up? Well, the how often depends on, all of these depend on your recovery requirements. So if I need to be able to run a recovery and be back up and running in 2 minutes or 5 minutes, then I'm probably going to take a more frequent backup so that I don't have to go through log apply on the recovery. I may keep more on disk, more copies on disk, if I have logical breaks in my work week or work day where I may fall back to 2 days ago for some reason, or maybe I need to go back and get an image copy or something, you may keep some additional backups on disk. You have to decide how long you want to keep these things. Because if you're just using them to create image copies, you can delete the system level backup as soon as the image copy is complete. You can get rid of them. The tape backup requirements, we have a customers all over the map on this one. Some keep them for several days to several months, and they want to be able to go back to like a month-end copy of their data, so they'll keep it for several months. It's system-level backups are nice for this because you're only managing the one backup, not thousands of image copy tapes, as in the traditional. There are incremental flash copy options to use. It reduces the background copy time and tape and resources necessary to do the copies. There's a really good presentation that was given at IOD last year, so if you have access to an IOD CD, you can look at some of the space-efficient flash copy and incremental flash copy technology that's being talked about. EMC has virtual devices, which are a space-efficient way to do it, so that only the change tracks get copied to your backup. And consider using multiple targets to support one set of targets to support multiple DB2 subsystems. The way this would work is you would take a copy, offload that copy to tape, and do the next DB2 subsystem and offload it to tape. So you're always restoring from a tape backup rather than the disk, but you only have one set of disks dedicated to supporting many DB2 subsystems. Which technique do you want to use for copying? Depending upon your application requirements, there are pluses and minuses to every technique here. Depending upon the storage processors you have and what fast replication facilities are licensed. If you have EMC DASD and you have the EMC Flash Copy API, then you can select the backup system, the DB2 backup system copy type. If you have EMC and you don't have the Flash Copy API, you're going to have to use one of the EMC techniques, the Time Finder Blade or the other one, to do the copy because the DB2 backup system utility requires the Flash Copy API. Knowing the consistency, which is best for you, DB2 set log suspend, backup system, and storage-based consistency. They all create outages of varying amounts for your application, but typically you'll find one that fits best with your application requirements. Disaster restarts. Generally speaking, it's best if the DB2 system level backup contains only DB2 data and the non-DB2 data is backed up in some other technique. You may have to recover other data than DB2, and that may require using some sort of flash copy outside of Recovery Expert's control. But you want to make sure that you have only the DB2 data. We support disaster recovery profiles, which store the knowledge of how to build your disaster recovery. That's where you put the options to copy log data to the DR site and various other options, how many, if you want to use image copies or system level backups. Generally, we are trying to get people to move to system level backups. You do have to make sure that Recovery Expert's disaster recovery PDF is taken off site along with the archive logs and image copies or offloaded system level backups if you're using those. And it can significantly reduce your recovery time at the DR site by using the storage-based technology for the restore and simplifying the process of rebuilding the DB2 subsystem. This is a little bit more detail about the various techniques, and I'm running out of time, so I'm going to go fairly quickly through this. The flash copy provides support for flash copy v2. We support both data set and volume copies. If you use it, it requires a set log suspend, but it works with all vendors, IBM, EMC, and Hitachi flash copy APIs. DFDSS is used the utility to back up the volumes. Fast replication will be preferred. It will also copy to non-fast replication DASD. Again, you have the set log suspend requirement, and we support all of the vendors, including, in this case, the RAMIC virtual arrays from Storage Tech. Going on to slide 27, if you use the backup system utility, it does not require set log suspend. It can do incremental flash copies, so you have incremental flash copy support. The advantages for RE down at the bottom, the backup validation feature, managing the process through one ISPF interface, object restore for DB2 version 8 and above. And it provides a fail-safe for if objects have been moved, we can still put them back, find where they go or where there's space for them and put them back. And we do provide reporting of the data sets backed up from which volumes and where they landed. DB2, the system level backup actually does back up DB2 instantly, so it doesn't require the set log suspend. From an application availability perspective, that's a good thing, although in many cases the set log suspend is not very long, but depending upon your application requirements, you may need to go to the backup system. The disaster recovery procedures are simpler with DB2 backup system because it's got the data and the logs and you just restart DB2. It also lets you drive replication across multiple vendors because we're always using the flash copy API with the backup system utility. It does, on the other hand, require some infrastructure to manage the storage processor and the coordination. You've got to make sure the copy pools are right and the backup copy pools are right. There's enough volumes, and when volumes get added, new volumes get added to copy pool, those kind of things. So there is that. And slide 29, excuse me, volume level backup with backup system. This is the fastest way. You can take, in DB2 version 9, you can use the backup system utility and go either to DASD or tape backups. So they can be, you can create a backup system without the DASD, without the major DASD requirement that they have prior to V9. And the volume backups can be used for object recovery in DB2 version 9 using the recovery utility and the restore of an entire DB2 subsystem or data sharing group. You guys have, this is available in your handouts, so these are the software requirements, hardware and software requirements for implementing this storage-based technology. And I think in the interest of time, I'll just skip through here. In using backup system, the data sets must be SMS managed, all the volumes. If you use the other techniques, the Hitachi Blade or the EMC techniques, you don't have to have the volumes in SMS. So we provide an advantage there as well. Copy pools are a new construct, and these are required by the DB2 backup system utility, and they do have a mandatory naming convention, which is listed down in the bottom bullet. copy pool backup. It's a new storage group type. It's where it's the target volumes for when you run a backup system. The source volumes get flashed into the copy pool backup. Yeah, we've talked about migrating of data sets within a copy pool. EMC, TimeFinder blade. We've got the consistency technology, BCV technology, and TimeFinder clone. So we support all of the flavors of EMC, DASD. We do need to do the set log suspend on one data sharing member when backing up a data sharing group. So there will be an issue with the application outage, albeit a short one. The Hitachi support is detailed here using the native shadow image. We also can use flash copy if it's available to us in the PARM lib for recovery experts who set it. Okay, and this is the last slide, 37. Again, recovery experts simplifies the DB2 system level backup methodology. Depending upon your environment, it can be very complex, and recovery expert makes it relatively simple to do, set up your system. You can use those backups for subsystem recovery, application recovery, or individual object recovery. We give you the ability to create image copies from a system level backup. I know several sites that have unload processes from an image copy that run monthly, and they really like this feature. And we make it easier for you to implement the advanced backup and recover techniques and help you talk to your storage administrators when you're trying to implement these techniques. And that said, I'll hand it back to the moderator for questions.
Thank you, Jay and Tom. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we'll have a live Q&A session with your presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. You may vote at this time. Question 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question 3. Was the version of DBS or ZOS you are currently using, if it was V9, press star 1. If V8, press star 2. If V7 or below, press star 3. question for. We hope that you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And this concludes our survey. Thank you for all that who participated. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. At this time, I will turn it over to our speaker while we wait for questions. I have no questions at this time. I would like to turn it over to the speaker for closing remarks.
Jay, you want to close?
Yeah, well, I will. Thanks, Tom, for that excellent presentation. I always learn a few things when I listen to you, so that's great. And if anybody has any additional questions or want to take it offline, they can contact Tom Hubbard. I think his email address is on the presentation. Or you can always feel free to contact myself. I'm Jay Bruce, or my email ID is the letter jmbruce@us.ibm. I'd be happy to take any of your questions about the IBM's tools portfolio. So thank you for your time today. Now I'll turn it back to the operator.
Thank you for participating. This concludes today's conference.